Hello everyone, this is Cody from the Rancor's Brothel. Before we begin this episode, I want to take a few moments and provide a more involved content warning than we usually give. Once the episode begins, you will hear me read a more detailed statement, but I want to warn our listeners that this campaign is set during the last months of the ISIL occupation of Mosul in 2016. The subject matter discussed during this series will include religious extremism, the violence of war, and other graphic and mature themes. In addition, this campaign begins with players assuming the roles of characters who wholeheartedly embrace and espouse the horrific beliefs of the Islamic State. It goes without saying that no one involved in this podcast endorses any aspect of ISIL. Their actions were disgusting, unconscionable, and tragic. We can only weep for those whose lives were affected or ended by the sheer madness of the Islamic State's occupation. So, you might be rightly asking yourself, why did I choose to play this game? I'm a big believer in teaching history, because through the past we can prevent the tragedies of the future. Before beginning this campaign, I took some time to read source materials about the rise of ISIL and the occupation of Mosul. Much of the detail I found was tragically informative. But it is exactly that level of detail that should not be forgotten. Even though Iconoclast is a fictional narrative, its historical framework provides the opportunity for us to learn and to teach others. We will not dwell or excessively detail the horrors of religious warfare, but I do think it is important to note the historic truths our players will encounter throughout the game. I know this means not everyone will be able to listen to this campaign, and that's okay. I encourage you to visit rancorsbrothel.com and select from a wide variety of other actual play podcasts that we have available. For those who will continue listening, I'm going to leave a moment of silence before the episode begins. Enjoy the show.
How's it going, everybody?
I don't know. We're about to find out.
It's a new campaign, episode one. There is a undoubtedly, if the editor lets this get out without me putting in a content warning, we have a problem. But we'll content warning the shit out of every one of these episodes, as we often do with a Delta Green campaign. I did have a statement that I was going to read ahead of time, just because I think it's important before we get started, given the content and the context. This game's setting revolves around an active combat zone and will contain references to extreme violence, graphic content, and other mature themes. If you are sensitive to these subjects or are concerned about hearing these topics discussed at all, we suggest you check out some of our other podcast episodes. Listener discretion is advised. On a personal note, in all honesty, this game is one of the most challenging I've ever considered bringing to the table, let alone recording for the podcast. Iconoclast is subtitled A Campaign of Horrors, Modern and Ancient, and the use of religious zealotry to ethnically cleanse those you deem less than human is far from a new concept. But the rise of the Islamic State post-Arab Spring was both rapid and terrifying. A rising up of bloody, horrific combat hidden under the guise of religious righteousness, all broadcast to a global audience in 1080p. And rather than uniformly recoiling at the sight, many embraced and joined this contemptuous crusade that sought to exterminate those who refused to kneel before it. Too often, history is bloody, barbaric, and cruel. It twists my stomach in knots to see what man can and has done to his fellow man, and ISIL is just one of the many nearly unspeakable horrors that has occurred. Yet we cannot shy away from the grotesque, cannot whitewash the bodies. History must be remembered. As Adam Scott Glancy wrote in his foreword to Iconoclast, these events, like I'm sure for many of us, made him sick with rage. He said, and I quote, that it left him incapable of imagining proportional justice. He wanted a punishment for them so vile it would cause him to lose the moral high ground. And it's hard not to echo the same sentiments.
That's a really good line.
I want to read, an editor we might, depending on where we're at, he gives away hints at what's going on in this game, but holy his foreword is like very powerful and moving. And there's a line about sort of conquering this from an ideological or philosophical or thought-provoking standpoint. To finish, as handler of this game, I want to make it clear that those of us at the table are not engaging with this content out of perverse fascination or grotesque glee, but to look back at a troubling time and wonder what we could do, what we might have done if we had any power. By spreading the tale, even in a fictitious setting, we have the opportunity to remember what happened, to create a dialogue, and to promise each other as a species to not let these things happen again. So not to bring it down, but I feel like that was sort of, you know, appropriate before beginning what is honestly kind of a challenging subject.
Yeah, yeah, it's a very traumatic time.
1,000%. Well, the information's still relevant, and I think it's important to engage in the subject. I mean, I don't think that any of us is here out of, like, religious zealotry or going, hey, ethnic cleansing is cool, let's play that on a Friday night. Like, no, we're here to engage in a difficult subject, but to postulate of what we could or could not have done, or if we had the opportunity to do so.
I really like the fact that it was written as a revenge story.
Oh no,
much.
He goes way more in depth. I use the quotes that I feel like I can, but the foreword is brilliant. And like, you know, I wonder if I can say that line. I don't want to give you guys too much because again, you are adventuring in this. Ah, I think I can give this bit. To paraphrase John Milnes and H.P. Lovecraft, I may not be a sorcerer, but give me a word processor and I can harness the shadows that stride from world to world to sow death and madness. Glancy is a remarkable character, but he is he's got a very human side, and 1,000% it's a revenge fantasy, like, no doubt. Anything from anybody else?
Okay. No, I just really like the line. I want to imagine a punishment so vile that I will lose the moral high ground.
That's great. That there's a reference to Raiders in the Lost Ark there as well.
Yeah,
the Nazis opening up the Ark of the Covenant. Yeah, it's brilliantly written. I actually sent this to a couple other folks, and they were like, oh, okay, so that's what we're doing. It's like, yeah, no, this is not some sort of, like, petty historical thing.
I think that line hits home, especially because it's, like, it's not like we've, I would say that there's a good chance the majority of people good people have been put in situations where they've been so wronged that they just, like, want to be, or want something bad to happen to somebody else with that same, like, recollection, like, knowing that if you did do anything, you're just making yourself just like the person who wronged
what you hate. Yeah.
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 But yeah, horrific, sickening.
Gotta stay like Obi-Wan, keep the high ground.
Nah, I think Glancy had that. If Glancy had access to three wishes, they'd have been absolutely damn f***ed. He would have had no care for the moral high ground, and whatever he came up with, it is brutal. He is a character. Yes.
Nothing. You just said three wishes.
Yeah. Am I already sowing seeds of situations to come? Would I do that?
Is that a four-letter word?
What now?
J-I-N-N?
Or D.
It's D-G. Or D-J.
A gin?
And then.
Yeah.
They're a gin?
I don't know yet.
I don't know. Maybe.
Although we haven't played a lot of Glancy, but the last time we did, and it ended with a bang. Thanks, Jeff. it's not unusual to toast with Stoli. So Jeff brought Stoli. It's been a shit day at work. It's nice to hang out with friends. So
to October of 2021.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Oh, that's a double, isn't it?
It is a double.
I shouldn't have done that. I have to drive home later.
I usually hand that one to Jeff. Schroeder, your character's name is Arshad, right?
Correct.
Arshad, you kick on the camera with a mechanical whine. You see outlined, obviously, in the frame, you've got like a green box drawing around, you know, what is the actual frame versus what the camera is actually seeing.
Right.
You've got a timestamp. It's about, say, 1:30, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It is the 23rd of March, 2016. That's the date I gave you guys, right?
I believe so, yes.
You're bouncing around in the back of a truck. What would you like to point the camera at? You can see the cityscape moving around behind you. Rubble in the streets. You can see people milling about, getting out of the way. Men in turbans holding guns. Sort of confronting people. You would know personally that it's Al-Hizba, the sort of religious police.
I'd probably be trying to get shots of Gokhan, like, with the backscape.
Sure. Probably sitting in the truck opposite you.
Yeah.
So you can obviously frame him up really well with the depending on how you time the shot, you might get some beautiful buildings of maybe the Islamic flag in the background as you're moving through. But yeah, Gokhan is probably sitting on the opposite side. This is like a military truck where it's open in the back. You know, you've got benches on both sides.
Gokhan is posed up along the top edge of the truck so that he can be seen with the background and is trying to look very impressive and...
Like a goddamn glittery Washington standing on top of the bench crossing the dusty Delaware.
Yeah.
You've struck a pose.
Trained to be inspirational.
100%. Yeah, yeah.
Don't hurt yourself.
Wherever you want to point the camera, wherever you want to go.
Yeah, I mean,
I would like to share. What do you want to talk about? You got your mission briefing already. You know you're en route. It's been a really shitty day. The rainy season is over. It's dusty in Mosul. Public works are functional in terms of like water and electric for the most part, where parts haven't been shelled out by the Americans or the Iraqis, or anyone else for that matter, you guys. But it traffic is just jammed. There are checkpoints and people to roll through, and you can hear, I believe in the front it is Tamir and what's the other guy's name? Tamir and Fasil, I think his name is Fasil, are both, Fasil is driving, Tamir is in the passenger seat, but they're constantly yelling, trucks are getting in the way, you see guys trying to, you know, show off at the checkpoints because they got nothing f***ing better to do, yelling at passengers, demanding papers, talking about whether or not the men's beards are too short or whether or not the women are completely clothed, I mean, all stuff that you guys have been involved with for the last several months at least.
No, I mean, I would obviously be getting, you know, shots of the city as we're passing through it. Probably shots of, like, the religious police actually, like,
sure,
taking people in. Like, that's the whole point of, like, sure, we're trying to show what we're doing.
No, 100%. You get excellent B-roll footage.
Yeah, I'd be trying to shoot B-roll as we're traveling. If he opens his mouth, Gokhan opens his mouth or is trying to actually actively do anything, I would bring the shots back to him. But, you know, I know that I shouldn't, my voice shouldn't be heard on the footage, so I would be just shooting.
And I believe Kazim is the one who actually has the mic pack. So really, in terms of audio, you would have to rely on him to set up, I would presume, a boom or something in the back of a moving truck, probably challenging to do.
Yeah, definitely not doing that right now.
That doesn't prevent Gokhan from giving inspirational speeches. It just means they probably aren't recorded.
No, Gokhan has a digital recorder.
Of course he does.
Oh, you did? The page I was looking for is the one that you removed.
Yeah, handy for when for trying out beats and rhymes when they come to you.
Are you going to spit us a jihadi rhyme,
no.
Jeff?
Okay. No, I am not.
Okay.
With an Australian accent? Please do.
If you're looking for your equipment, I put it in the Discord. Just because I felt it was easier to list it there, along with... I don't know if you saw, Daniel, I popped it in the...
Oh, did you put it on your sheet? I printed it on back.
No, you're right. I also popped a map in the Discord as well.
You did.
Sweet.
Yep. It's the assumption that we are traveling on mission.
Yeah, 100%. You are in a 1991 Volvo cab over FE6 Comfort truck with side rails and canvas top over the bed. And you are carrying on a trailer a Hyundai model H940 4WS backhoe loader chained to it, plus all kinds of stuff. Portable lights, jackhammers, sledgehammers, dynamite, and of course, safety gear, because why would you need that?
Gokhan is telling you how he wants to have shots of him with the jackhammer.
So the problem is you got rid of the sheet that's got all the names of the other people that are with us.
Who would you like to know about?
Who's the demolitionist who's basically our handler?
That would be Timur. He's in front.
I would assume that he's potentially barking orders. Like, I would want to see what he's like. He's sitting quietly, like, we're on mission. We're just trying to get to where we need to go.
Well, you guys are in the back of an uncovered, or kind of a canvas-covered truck, so he's in the cab, so...
Oh, gotcha.
You're okay. In the back with Kazim, Gokhan, Elam, Khalid, Alan, Elam, and Alan. And then you are shot. Yeah. So there's six of you in the back. It's the two construction workers.
It's basically like the three of us and like security.
The two construction workers, and then there's, who's the other one? One, two, three. But yeah, I think they're all the rest of them are construction guys. I'll look. But yeah, the roar of the truck is loud, but you can definitely hear each other if you would like to have any conversation.
I'm just people watching. Probably watching the religious police do their thing.
So we're all going to do this mission, right? The whole point is we're going to go get this guy, right? Mm-hmm. But none of us are actually like fighters.
Oh, the three of you?
Well, the three of us aren't, and then there's two construction workers.
Three construction workers, actually.
Three.
Yeah.
Right. So like
we're like the social media guys.
We are. Yeah, but like I like
those guys. Oh aren't
no,
really
no, no! Gokhan is a warrior.
Thanks, Jeff.
Yeah.
I like to imagine he's like, no.
But like for me, I'm like in my head, like if my understanding is like this is potentially not going to be like an easy thing to do, right? Because we all know that he has this bomb shelter that we're trying to potentially find and infiltrate.
You could talk about it. You could also fill in the audience who has no idea what's going on too.
Okay.
So, you don't have to read from the briefing, but you can chat amongst yourselves.
Yeah. So, yeah, he's suspected to be, according to all accounts, he's a good Sunni, but they want us to investigate him. He's got this construction file.
Is the word adulterer proper for adultery? Not adultery, but idolatry.
Idolatry.
Idolatry. It's like...
Idolater.
Yeah. So, he's suspected of housing, religious antiques that...
Blasphemy, basically.
Blasphemy, but religious antiques, the idea is that he's collected, a lot of old antiques that go against the Islamic State.
Right.
And everything that ISIL stands for.
Correct.
So we're essentially going to collect him. And I don't think that necessarily his servants have to be collected as well, but we're going to collect him to bring him for judgment. And we need to find his shelter that he had permission to build during the 1980s when Iraq was fighting with Iran.
Construction permits on
correct. File. Yep. So we know that he at least had permission to do so, but there's nothing on any of the blueprints that show the actual bomb shelter itself. So we're trying to find his stash of antiques that have essentially been hidden from ISIL for years and to basically bring his blasphemy to the light. So that's what our group is doing. And I'm here in my mind trying to figure out how best I'm going to shoot this.
Yeah, no, 100%. You guys are here as the propaganda arm. You're correct. Definitely here to write a magazine article, post on your blog, film it, create an excellent film
Vine.
Roll of it.
Yeah,
absolutely. Jeff is going to be on Vine and Snapchat.
Yeah, and I will eventually film the beheading.
Glancy literally describes him as a jihadi Tupac Shakur.
He does.
Yep, that's me.
Question is, does Jeff know who Tupac Shakur is?
Of course I do.
Okay.
And the problem with Glancy doing that is that Tupac Shakur and his cultural prominence definitely does not actually fall upon this guy.
Well, that's what Jeff's character Gokhan believes.
Gokhan wants to be the jihadi Tupac Shakur. That's a better way of pointing it. Yeah, for sure.
Otherwise you guys are rolling along in this truck. Anything you want to do?
We're after Tariq Muhammad Rassam.
Correct.
I think probably just the stuff we're used to, like checking equipment, checking our vests. Yeah.
Now, the three of you really haven't been like...
Yeah, this is not something that Arshad is used to. Arshad is used to sitting behind a computer and typing up articles for Dabiq. Like, this is... I've always wanted to be able to be a part of, this type of thing, but this is not what my experience has been since I've joined the Islamic State.
Just to sort of put it out there, the Islamic State has been in charge by this time of Mosul for about 2 years and is basically serving as its capital. The city was just a couple of years ago had a population of 1.8 million. Most numbers expect that it's about at just over 700,000 now between the killings and the people who fled. As you move through the city, it is not unusual to see people executed by Al-Hizba, set up at crossroads or roundabouts or hanging from freeways and overpasses. That is not an unusual circumstance. So plenty of juicy B-roll footage. Anything else you'd like to do? Any conversation you'd like to have?
Besides the three of us, have the construction workers actually seen any legitimate combat?
Elam has, Elam Sufyan, Sufyan Boom Efta.
I'd like to apologize on behalf of the podcast ahead of time for all of the Arab words that we're going to f*** up.
By the way, he's Belgian, so most of those words I think were Belgian.
Whatever. Them too.
We're going to across the board.
Any mispronounced names, words, or...
But Elam, quote, is a Belgian foreign fighter who looks like the Terminator.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Gotcha.
He's the brick wall you want to stand behind.
Yeah, no, he is... I believe I'd have to look, but you would imagine he has actually seen combat.
This isn't something I know. This is a speculation.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, if we're all living in Mosul, we've all seen some kind
of... Yeah, I mean, it's daily life here.
Yes.
Correct. But a lot of what you guys have been doing is working in and around Al-Hizba. Al-Hizba, which is the religious police. So a lot of what you've been documenting is look at what we've accomplished and look at how we're
changing the face of our home.
Right. And we're following the religious code and,
these are the standards that you should be living to.
Correct. 10 things all jihadis should know when visiting Raqqa, that kind of you are publishing Jihadi Monk. So yes, let me look at Elam. Elam definitely looks like head on a swivel, has seen combat.
So if, when I'm not shooting, when I'm not obviously rolling B-roll, since there's no audio because you don't want to hear the loud noise of the truck bouncing through the streets,
right.
Like I would be asking Elam, like checking my equipment, is this correct? You know, things like that, like checking my guns, those types of things. Because
he is very disciplined. He is very, you know, sort of slamming his hand down on the bench, and you know, you must do it this way. He's like, you know, and he references religion a lot. He quotes the Quran. You're not, I don't know how good you know the Quran, but like he quotes things that are fairly violent passages anyway. You probably recognize some of them from having written about them in Beak. But let's take a look at what languages Elam knows. See how well this conversation goes for you, Schroeder.
Okay.
You've heard him speak English before. He refuses to speak English.
Okay.
He is speaking only in Arabic, in a very proper version of Arabic as well.
Okay.
You actually see as part of his kit, he's got a prayer rug, like, in his rucksack.
Gotcha.
Ready for daily prayers.
Absolutely. He was the one who demanded it before you left, that you all prayed at midday prayers.
Gotcha. So I have a 25 in Arabic.
You can tell the parts that you mess up because he looks at you like you've sh** yourself.
Gotcha.
Anybody else?
No, I'm assuming that Gokhan would not speak Arabic to him unless he had to, because he sucks at it.
You see him staring. Elam seems to stare somewhat judgmentally at Gokhan.
I can see that.
Who likely is holding his gun, not the way that you're supposed to. Looks a little bit like Rambo. It's actually one of the, when doing some of the research that I did for this and listening to some of the audiobooks and podcasts and stuff, the Americans actually found on a laptop before it was destroyed, a bunch of the shitty B-roll, like the essential outtakes of the jihadi recruitment videos of like guys like ripping ass and letting like, you know, 30 rounds off of an AK and then like going to like put it down and grabbing it by the barrel and burning the shit out of their own hands. Like, because some of these guys who were the leaders had no idea what the they were doing, but they became, you know, icons. So just edit the bit out where he burned himself because he held onto the gun and be like, oh, look at him taking people out, as opposed to like shooting on the range.
I'm gonna turn from people watching for a second, just kind of turn to everyone sitting in here and be like, has anybody given any thought to this Rassam character being clean?
What language are you speaking in?
Yeah,
I would assume English, which is the most common thing amongst all of us.
I'm pretty sure that our assumption would be that it probably doesn't matter.
I mean, didn't this guy give his businesses to the state?
He gave what was expected. He didn't give everything.
I would probably whisper to you to shut the f*** up for not, like, you whisper that. You don't say that out loud for everybody who can potentially understand English to hear it.
You see Khalid actually pull out a cigarette and light it. You see Elam just turn and look at him. Yeah. And begins smoking a Turkish cigarette, which you all would know is against code.
Yeah.
Khalid's the Bosnian, correct?
Khalid is... specify? I think so. I'll have to look.
Khalid is the character I originally was shooting for, if I remember correctly.
Khalid is Algerian.
Okay.
You head out of town and south of Mosul. You can see the Tigris River in the distance. It's a little after 2 o'clock when you reach Brother Rassam's property. You see a large outer wall, old wall, made of rocks, piled about a meter high, and they surround the property. This is a massive property. There are 5 orchards on it. The driveway is closed with sort of a rusty iron gate.
Say orchards of what?
It does somewhere. Let me look. The map here just says orchards, but let me look.
Okay, so our mission coming in here, I'm assuming Rassam does not know that we're on our way to infiltrate his house.
One would presume, I think.
He doesn't know. It says specifically that he doesn't know that we know that he hasn't reported the bunker to ISIS.
Right. So how much resistance are we expecting?
All we've been told, at least, is that it's Rassam and his 2 servants, his driver and gardener and his actual like maid.
Right. I would ask, is it Elam?
Yeah.
Yeah. I would try and piece it together in Arabic and ask him.
He sort of shrugs.
How much resistance are you expecting, and what do you want us doing if there is?
You are here to do your job. Film, investigate, capture. we're here to bust open the walls or do whatever.
It also said El Said refused to answer any questions during briefing.
That's true. Yeah.
Just FYI. And we're also potentially, we're looking for pre-Islamic artifacts.
Yes.
The truck kind of rolls up to the gate and, you see, Timur's hand reach out of the passenger side and bang on the, like reach up and bang on the hood of the truck. Get that gate open.
All right, I'll hop out.
I would turn to one of the construction guys because I would assume none of the three of, I don't know necessarily, you're the audio guy, right? So I would assume that none of the three of us have the skills to potentially pop a lock on a gate. So I would be like,
you can hop out if you want.
It's yeah. a gate.
So, as you yeah. walk over, you see that there is a simple bar holding it shut. There is yeah. no lock.
I okay. will lift up and swing her open.
There we go.
He lifts up, swings open. The truck moves forward a little bit and then slows so you can, you know, hop on.
Yep.
You proceed down a long and winding single lane gravel drive, not much wider than the vehicle that you're driving. On either side of the road are apricot trees. You see sheds dotted throughout the orchards that have baskets and ladders sort of leaning up against the sheds or scattered or, you know, tucked in. You see you then approach like a secondary sort of inner wall. So this was like a property line wall. This is clearly like a home wall. This is a much newer construction. And it surrounds the house, what looks to be like maybe a garden or a swimming pool. You can kind of see from your elevated position of the truck. It is a two-story home. But this new wall is made of cinder block, is about 2 meters tall. And you can see that broken glass has been cemented along the top, which is not unusual sort of construction for Mosul.
As in like within 30 years time?
Oh, easily, yeah.
Okay.
Nice change of scenery from the city.
And as you start to pull up again, the hand reaches out and bangs on the top of the hood. No message this time. Just expected that someone understands what they should be doing.
I'm just
going. Gokhan, go open it. I'll get video.
Okay.
Gokhan jumps out. He's following you. Action shot with the camera. You can see the gate is secured with a chain and a padlock.
I would like to say that he pulls up his rifle and just starts unloading at this lock. But
that is absolutely an option.
I just don't think that... I can't believe he's that much of an idiot. But
give it the
somehow,
butt.
Somehow I think that's what it is.
All right, Jeff's already more, going to the weapon.
No, I mean, the more I read about this guy, I think he's an idiot.
Okay.
And he just doesn't
have any idea what's actually going on. We have sledgehammers, picks, and crowbars.
Yes.
You can choose.
I stick my head out the back of the truck. You need some help there, Gokhan?
Grab a crowbar. Yeah.
All right.
Ah, you pussy.
Bolt cutters, if you got them.
If you rolled poorly, I wouldn't make you shoot anybody, but you could definitely shear a finger off as the hot lead comes flying out of the gun.
Grab one of the even though I know we probably wouldn't have access to it, but just stick a piece of dynamite in it.
I mean, there's just a box that says dynamite.
I assumed we wouldn't be allowed to touch it.
Old. Let me roll my zero demolition.
Feel free.
I'm going to use the ear protection and the hard hat.
So yeah, no, you can go over there. You grab a crowbar.
All right, we'll go
make
out there.
Make some sort of roll to see how you force it.
We'll get some leverage
strength?
On the sucker.
Athletics, maybe?
Athletics?
Yeah, I'll let you do athletics. Let's see what you do.
I don't see athletics as a... Is that on your guys' thing?
Yes.
Oh, it's not even on mine.
Some of their pre...
Oh, never mind. It's okay. There.
It was. I think so, because I thought there was a base.
Yep.
I just take a step back and turn to him. Are you filming this?
Oh, yeah. This is what we call bloopers.
Fail.
You see him slam the crowbar in, go to pry, and not have it on the iron bars, and this f***ing crowbar just flips around and lands on the ground.
What's your athletics?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm going to walk up and take the crowbar and give it a shot.
What are you at, though?
My athletics 51.
Okay, yeah, go ahead. I'll take the shot.
Mine is better than that, and I failed.
That's over.
He's like leaning. Nothing happens.
I'll say to Ilam in Arabic, can you help these idiots?
At this point, Fasil is screaming in presumably some words you don't necessarily know in Arabic. You assume that they're swears and starts laying on the horn.
Wonk, wonk.
Anything else you'd like to do after he lays on the horn? Lom starts to get out looking at you quizzically.
No, I still didn't get it.
This time, smashes the out of his hand.
Yes.
Great start.
But do you really feel bad? If you're the Three Stooges of ISIL, do you really feel bad about fucking up?
Am I supposed to give away that part of my feelings and backstory?
Ilam walks over and like looks at you. What?
They can't get the lock.
Maybe you should wait for the servant, he says, pointing. And you can see that there's an old man shuffling along. And he comes over and like looks at you folks, looks at the AKs, looks at the truck, unlocks the lock, and swings the gate open. The truck does not wait for you standing outside. It just starts to rumble on into the driveway.
It's a good quality lock you got there.
He sort of just nods as he kind of keeps his eyes downturned.
I mean, this guy would be as much a suspect as the homeowner, wouldn't he?
I don't know. What do you think?
I don't know.
I would call out to Majid to see if he reacts.
He turns to look at you. Yes?
I would just say, good man, follow us and follow the truck in.
Of course. He waits for you folks to rumble in and then he closes the gate.
He's the driver gardener.
He will shuffle on behind.
How old does he seem?
Late 50s, early 60s.
Okay.
He shuffles. He's older, but not decrepit or anything. He still looks healthy enough to, you know, get around, just not quickly.
Seen some years.
Correct.
Gotcha.
There is sort of a, let me look at the map again. There is sort of a parking area in front of the garage. So they pull up the backhoe, the supplies, everything gets sort of just rammed right there. And you start to see Facile and Timur and all these other folks just start jumping out of the truck. They start heading towards the front entrance, which is flanked by like two sort of out thrusting like crenellations. It's a very decorative two-story home. But you can see that there are these massive doors that would open up into like a grand foyer and they're headed in that direction.
Are we going to record the breach and like get that on footage?
I would assume that I've got the batteries to try and get video footage of all of it.
All right. So I guess we're trying to set up equipment.
Does it look like they're moving in for a breach or are we just going in?
They jumped out like construction workers. Like they're not rushing.
Okay.
But
they're not taking cover and having guns drawn or anything like that.
No.
Well, maybe we can take them with surprise. The entrance to the foyer with the H kind of H shape of the property. Is the foyer like through the courtyard? Like looking at the map.
Kind of, yeah.
I've got a very old house vibe to it.
Oh, yeah.
And that's an interior. That's, he gave us two shots. I can't really tell. Oh, that's the second floor. So first floor is that.
It's kind of have a courtyard vibe to it, doesn't it?
Yeah. And then second floor is that. So there's a second floor on top of essentially this portion of the property. You said we are in the parking near the garage.
Correct.
Gotcha. So we are not the other side of the building where there's a where the garden beds are, essentially.
No, we're coming into the grand foyer.
Oh, okay. We're legit coming in the front doors. Okay.
Yeah.
That makes more sense. Okay. Do we have to knock? Do the doors open or no?
I mean, they're sort of waiting on you.
Okay.
I mean, you know that if you do not take your opportunity, Facile will act. Facile is very braggadocious. He talks a lot about his... he talks a lot about his Porsches and his concubines and how he is a big hero back in his homeland for everything that he's done. And he thinks he's big man on campus. So you know that if you want to get Gokhan in any shots or if you want to, you know, get this done, if you wait, Facile will take the lead.
Gotcha.
Okay. Yeah, we'll get it moving.
I would assume Gokhan would be just as eager to get in shots. So,
yeah, Jeff is not sure what is expected of these guys. Are we going in forcefully? Do we grab the servant and drag him in like he's like the household is being arrested?
It depends on you. You three are the propaganda arm. Facile will take over, but realistically, from what you've done before, you folks sort of set the tone. You know that there's going to be a search. You know that there's probably going to be an arrest, but you're setting the tone. So what tone do you want to set? Does Gokhan want to kick in the door and let loose with 30 rounds from his AK? Sure. Does he want to make some sort of proclamation and quote the Quran? Maybe. Does he want to bust out the windows? 100% on you guys.
He would probably drag the servant up to the door, have him open the door and come in gun drawn and go looking for the master of the house.
Okay. It can play out just like that. So you getting out your boom mic. So boom mic over the top of the shoulder, I presume, unless there's any reason why you wouldn't.
Yep. Nope. Okay. Sounds good.
You two are sort of connected at the hip, literally and figuratively.
Yep.
You sort of get an over the shoulder shot as the servant is roughly pushed in by the left hand. He's got this AK sort of angled up in the crook of his right arm, you know, and whatever you want to do, Jeff, you can force him to open the doors.
Yeah. Force him in. Where is Rassam?
Not immediately present as you step into the foyer.
No, I'm at, he would be questioning the servant.
See if I've got a... The foyer has a massive crystal chandelier above it. White marble room looking out into the courtyard of a... and you can see a graceful Arabic fountain. It is picturesque. Above you, you can see like a balcony and an upper gallery that looks down on the garden and the chandelier and the foyer. The old man sort of calls out, Rassam, master, we have guests. Sort of chokes the words out. You hear some shuffling from upstairs.
What language?
Arabic.
Okay.
There's sort of a sweeping stairwell, kind of, I believe it's off to your right if I'm reading the map correctly. And you see a relatively spry old man. He moves very gracefully down the steps. He seems completely unperturbed by either the camera, the mic, or the gun-toting Gokhan. Peace be with you, brothers. What can I do for you today? What has brought you to my home?
I'm assuming that there's some, I mean, I know it's not Miranda rights or something like that, but there is some kind of formal, you are suspected of whatever that Gokhan would go through to this guy.
You actually have a piece of paper, I think, that dictates that.
Okay.
Charge and arrest everyone in the house with idolatry and bring them back to Mosul are our direct orders.
An ISIL emir, so a religious leader, provided you... legal permission to search the premises as well as arrest the occupants.
Okay.
So you could recite that.
Yep. He would go through the rigmarole of what he needs to have said and move in to place them under arrest.
Okay. The servant, what is it? Majid. Majid sort of steps in, unless you're going to keep a hold of him.
Do we have any restraints or anything like that?
I believe you have various construction materials, so you might have like handcuffs, or not handcuffs, but like rope or something.
I mean, if we were sent to arrest these guys, I'm assuming that we would have some kind of...
You are assuming that Al-Hizba...
Okay. Zip ties or something.
Delta Green, my friend.
Those are holding the bumper of the truck on.
Rassam shows no, you know, sort of resistance. Okay. He sort of comes down the steps and maybe sits on the bottom step or maybe on a settee nearby. You can, out of the corner of your eye, you detect movement upstairs, like just on the foyer, as if there are sort of the overlooking the foyer, the sort of, you know, you sense movement, but nobody is coming down or coming up. You just feel like you're being observed.
Okay.
I'm going to cast my gaze up there while I'm holding the mic.
Appears to be a feminine figure, or at least you can tell whoever it is wearing sort of all black.
I would yell out, Chatha, come down, in Arabic.
At this, Majid does try and pull away a little bit from you if you don't stop him.
He will crack him with the butt of the gun.
All right, make me a roll.
Probably a fail. Yep.
I mean, it just means that it's not like you don't kill the man.
Right.
But you do crack the old man in the back of the head, at which point there is a sort of choked scream. And she does come running down and sort of kneels by his side. You see Rassam sort of stand up and sort of look over his servant, at which point Fasil has made his entry known. The doors sort of swing open and Fasil comes in barking orders, suspiciously, as you notice, trying to put himself in front of the camera. And you see construction workers kind of going left and going right. They have, you know, sledgehammers and shovels, and there begins to be sounds of general smashing and or looting noises up and down the hall.
Show started.
There is, Rassam sort of looks at Gokhan. There is no need for violence. We will, of course, submit to the religious edicts of the emir.
Where is the bomb shelter?
The bomb shelter. What bomb shelter?
The one that you were given permission to build.
The bomb shelter?
30 years ago. Yeah.
That was not searched the last time that...
Do you not believe that your fellow soldiers of the Islamic State have not found a bomb shelter? There's no bomb shelter to be found. It was an old permit. It was never built.
Well, we'll find out.
Let them know that we're going to be doing a thorough investigation of the property.
Of course. You see at this point... Shatha sort of has sort of picked up Majid and sort of like moved him over to someplace kind of out of the way, set him down on a settee and is sort of attending to him, casting furtive glances over her shoulder at the group of you talking to Rassam. Please feel free. Whatever you need to do, I understand. Just for the good of the state.
Okay. And I guess we start going to find this.
Let's secure these guys, and then, yeah, we can go room by room and then do a search out the back, see if we can find the entrance to this thing.
So what were you wanting to do? They seem to show no resistance. He is bleeding from the head, but seems conscious and cognizant of his surroundings.
I'm not that great at first aid to patch him up, but we were charged to bring everybody back alive, or it would look to be incompetence on our part. So
I didn't hit him hard enough to deal damage.
Anything you'd like to do, Schroeder?
The general consensus was we get these guys secured and then we could move room to room.
Yeah,
get
freely.
Some footage.
Yeah.
And then eventually go search out back, see if we can find the entrance to this thing.
Gotcha. Yeah, for sure. Sorry, I had to pee so bad it was painful.
Thank you for that declaration.
Yeah. Well,
carry on. Where would you like to go? What would you like to do?
Grab a sledgehammer and a pick and go where?
I don't know. Go where?
No, I was going to look.
You said something about securing them. Are you physically securing them, or are you having somebody watch them, or are you...
I assume the big guy is going to be staying with them.
We could also use... I read it a minute ago. Give me a second. The backhoe loader is actually chained, so we could use the chains from the backhoe loader on the trailer. Just technically.
This would be big chains. They don't tie people up very well.
Yeah. You never know. You'd wrap it around their neck and chain it to the... to the trailer.
It seems you know, counterintuitive to bringing them quote back alive end quote.
No, I mean we don't need everybody to get footage of this place. We know who's here, right? So let's leave. What was the big dude's name again?
Elam.
Let's secure these people. Leave Elam with them while we get some footage of the rooms.
You can tell this is your second time playing Delta Green. You went the big badass with you at all times. We definitely could. I mean, I'm not opposed to it. Obviously, I'm wanting to get the footage and get out of here and get accolades.
You do have a couple of big bads. Timur has seen action. I believe he's missing an arm and, like, definitely is blind in one eye.
Timur's the demolitionist.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But he is also, like, he was a former frontline fighter until just recently. He walks with a limp.
No. Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah. Like, so Timur and Elam both are your sort of big bad toughs. Everybody else here is sort of... generic work.
Yeah.
Vasil thinks he's a big bad tough.
Yeah. Timur, right? Is that how you pronounce it? Or Timur?
Not sure.
However you pronounce it. Being a demolitionist, right? Like, obviously you hide bomb shelters typically underground.
Brilliant.
Is there a particular place on this property you think that would be more likely than not to be more protected from shelling?
Let me see something.
You're used to trying to blow things up. I would assume there's maybe, you know...
I mean, there's got to be a way in.
Well, let's think. Iran is to the east, right? Trying to think map-wise. Wouldn't you build the... I would assume you'd build the bomb shelter on maybe the west side of the property to where the buildings itself would help shield into the bomb shelter.
Mostly you want as much between you and the explosive as possible.
I would assume.
You could put it under the house or under some other structure, under concrete.
Under that garden where you've got the building around both sides.
He sort of nods. It's possible.
It's the smartest thing you said all day.
Twice a day.
Like a broken clock?
Yes.
Does it mean you're looking at the garden, or?
Who was the third person? The female?
That would be the maid.
The maid.
I believe her name is Shatha.
Yeah. Who seemed to have a thing for Majid.
Okay.
Potential.
I'd kind of like to separate her and try and do a persuade roll to say the only way he's going to get out of this alive is if we find this without much problem.
What's your persuade?
49.
Okay. Got me by 4.
Yeah, no, I mean, you could separate them. There's no issue with that.
Damn it.
Spend your luck.
Do I have luck?
No, you don't.
Oh.
Do you have any sort of humint at all, Jeff?
I have base.
What's base?
10.
I do.
Well, I mean, I'm going to presume you three are going to be moving around together because yes. you're going to try and... So
I'm trying to argue for me to get the role also.
I understand. So yeah. Gokhan, you grab Shatha. You pull her away. Right now you're having Tamir or Ilam sort of keep an eye on the two men.
Probably Correct. Ilam.
Yeah, Tamir's got one arm, right?
Tamir does have one arm.
Yeah, so that's probably not the best choice.
We're going to keep... Like he can handle a pistol. Man. Tamir's with us in case we got to blow something up to get to the...
Yeah, we're going to need him.
Yeah.
Tamir could handle a submachine gun one-handed.
So he's that much of a crazy.
I'd rather the guy with two arms be able to fight two guys than the guy with one arm to fight two guys.
True.
They did describe him as the Terminator.
Yeah,
literally written in the text. So,
so you drag her away from them. What do you say?
That the only way that Majid is going to get out of this in one piece is if we're able to find what we're looking for and pin it on Rassam.
Yes, I agree.
Where is it?
I don't know, but you're going to take me away from here, right?
That's the plan, yes.
Good. This is a horrible place.
Why?
Because he's a sorcerer and he's doing black magic. Now you can make that human roll if you'd like.
Missed it by 7. 37 out of over 30.
He's manipulated my uncle. They will kill me. They will sacrifice me to whatever sort of evil demons they worship.
I'm going to accidentally drop the boom mic and hit him in the side. Finally hearing this.
Donk.
Where's the proof of this?
They kept me locked in my room, and I hear such odd sounds and smells in the night. It is surely a wizard. It is black and evil magic. He talks to the air. He consults the djinn. He consults nothing. I think they plan to kill me. I know they do. I have seen it in my dreams. I will be ripped the flesh from my body. I will be bloodless and skinless. You must take me away from here. He is an evil man. He's manipulated my uncle. That's 71. Didn't get that doesn't look good either.
No. I thought I'd try for the 10% human. Did you make the human roll?
She is wide-eyed.
I'm going to reference the servant back in the room. He's your uncle?
Yes, Majid. He is my great uncle.
Do you have human?
10%.
Okay. He's been...
Make the roll.
Yeah, try it.
You might hit it.
He's been ensorcelled by Rassam.
Oh, so he missed it by 7, just like I did.
Now, keep in mind, we are playing in a campaign setting, so I'm pretty sure that you...
Oh, yeah, tick them.
You Ooh. Tick when Ooh, you yeah, screw yeah. it up, and then you raise it by 1 or 1d4, depending, I think.
These sheets don't have a place to tick.
Just put a little hash beside it, I guess.
It's because I thought these were throwaway characters.
No, you never know.
Okay, so I've missed athletics. I've missed...
Oh, yeah. freaking master lock.
Do I get to tick Arabic for maybe not understanding everything fully or before?
Missed human, missed melee weapons.
You just missed all missed over the
persuade.
Place.
Persuade. I have not made a single f***ing roll, and I keep trying.
I would ask her, is there a part of the house that he's like... Sticks what? To like is there like where's the wizard practices magic?
I don't know.
You certainly weren't locked in your room when we came in the building.
No, they locked me there at night. At night is when he performs his rituals.
Can you hear screams or sounds from any particular part of the house?
I do. It is as if it is prayers to evil beings.
Is it upstairs or downstairs?
It my bedroom, and she indicates. I think it's listed on the map as bedroom. Four?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it gives numbers or not. In the text, it calls it bedroom 4, but I don't know if it gives you numbers.
Yes.
So the upstairs opposite the balcony.
Correct.
Over the family room.
Correct.
Okay. Where does the sounds come from?
She hears them from below. She can get no more specific than that.
Okay.
The strange odors are always the morning after.
Do you hear his prayers?
I might have just given you something wrong. Hold on. Wait, I need to double check which room is hers. Hold on. I don't want you to get all upset when I've ended up giving you the wrong information. 2 seconds. Let me double check.
Sounds like
I thought she was the maid.
She is.
Well, there's a maid's room and a driver's room.
There is.
There are a lot of rooms in this gym. There are. Give me a second.
No, I'm... Check.
I started flipping through the rooms and I'm like, oh, no, wait.
What the hell is the pool EQP room?
Equipment.
Ah, okay. There's a pool? There is a pool.
Correct. She does sleep in the maid's room. She indicates bedroom 4 is where he does his wizardous sorcery.
Cool.
What language is she speaking to us in?
I would presume Arabic. I can check.
Okay.
What is a...
It does not specify her language specifically, so I'm going to say Arabic.
What's a mageless?
Huh?
M-A-J-L-I-S.
That's the salon.
Yeah. It's like a sitting room. It's where you would bring in guests and sit and have tea and...
Smoke hookah.
Correct. Something to that effect.
Okay.
I told you wrong, Daniel. Her room is the maid room. She indicates bedroom 4 as the wizard's laboratory or the wizard's workshop.
Which is essentially the opposite of a bomb shelter because it's on the second floor.
Wait a minute, she's pointing out specific rooms?
Well, she indicates where to find it. I'm just letting you know so you can see on your map where things
are. Oh, okay. Okay.
It is listed on the map as bedroom 4. His quote, wizard's workshop.
Which is second floor opposite the balcony.
I think we better check it out then.
Yeah. Sounds like we ought to.
Should
bring her with us? Make her open the door?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can take her with you. You guys are filming and recording the whole time. As you go upstairs, you can see other guys like just smashing holes in random walls and just, you know, kind of loitering around. Facile has them knocking things down, knocking things over. The whole house is done in marble. It was probably opulent, but as you walk by, you can see like bare spots that are sort of sun bleached where things have been removed or pedestals where things once sat. This was sort of a mansion at some point, clearly. But a lot of stuff has disappeared, which is not surprising given what Alhesba would have done.
I would ask her if there were places in the home she was not allowed to go during the day since she was only locked up at night.
No.
No hidden rooms that you're aware of or doors that lead to nowhere?
No.
Have you ever seen the wizard's laboratory?
Yes.
What should we expect in there?
The workings of a madman, of a demon.
Such as?
I don't know. Just terrible, terrible things. And she indicates the door. She doesn't want to get close to bedroom 4.
Do the wall markings indicate windows?
So if you like, are you talking about the map?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
I turn over to Gokun. All right, time to shine.
Yeah. Why don't you keep her covered? Just in case.
None of you can see the he looked at Daniel. He's giving Jeff. So consider my wheeze the go f- yourself look that he hasn't said out loud.
We can do voiceover later.
Put it in post.
Yep. And I get ready to go in the door and make sure that you've got the camera on me.
Camera's rolling.
What are you doing, Rambo?
And I'm just aiming it at the door as I'm watching.
Kick the door, combat roll in.
100%.
Come up with the rifle.
Can you make me some sort of dex-based roll to see how this goes?
Totally. I want to see how this goes. Pass.
I'm ready to cut away if he f***ed up his roll.
He kicks the door in, combat rolls. You're following him, steady cam style the whole way through.
ID, boom!
Shaky cam. He pops up and swings, and as he swings the barrel around, you see him hit an Erlenmeyer flask, and it hits the ground and just shatters all over the place. You're standing in what appears to be a chemistry lab. Bunsen burners, flasks, beakers, pipettes, cabinets full of jars of substances. You can see PPE hanging on a hook next to the wall.
We have any intel that this guy was a chemist or any type of doctor?
I don't believe so. He's a former teacher at the University of Mosul. We don't necessarily know what he taught.
Shatha screams as the Erlenmeyer flask hits the ground and shatters. Very cinematic. Gothon continues to check the corners of a room that contains no one and is clearly a lab. He looks cool while doing it.
I mean, that's what matters.
You wonder if your shitty version of After Effects will allow you to put targets in there that he could have shot at.
Well, that was anticlimactic.
Let's do a search roll.
Yeah, search roll. That doesn't look very good for you anyway.
Nope. 61 over 52.
No.
22 under 44. So that's a
critical success. You're sort of looking around. It has an odd smell, which is not unusual for a chemistry lab.
Somebody just broke something.
Where somebody just broke something. And you're filming and you're like that. Something about the windows are open. There aren't a lot of there is no electricity because of all the situations going on in Mosul. This is out in the country. So a lot of the windows are open. They're letting in cool air because it is sort of warm springtime. And, you know, maybe one of these two goes over and opens a curtain or something. But you notice that there's a glint on one of the tables and it's shiny and it catches your eye. It's like almost like glitter, except it's golden colored.
Okay, go check it out.
You see it. You see flecks of it everywhere. On the tables, in a nearby crucible, and inside sort of an iron cast that would have molded something. You kind of pick it up and roll it between your fingers. It's tough, but still malleable. It looks like gold dust.
Huh. I mean, I would point it out to the other guys. Does it seem to potentially lead to anywhere?
No, but it looks like all of the workspaces have, now that he points it out, you can kind of look and kind of wipe your fingers, and everything seems to have like bits of gold.
A layer of gold dust on it?
Yeah.
Did you say there was a mold or a cast of some type?
Yeah. It's very heavy near sort of like a, there's like a crucible furnace, and there's like a, you know.
So this, if nothing else, is proof that he was hiding stuff. He's got gold here that should have been given to the state.
At the very least.
Yeah.
Any unopened cabinets?
You could pull them apart. You see, depending on your role and your understanding, you see things denotated in Arabic as well as other things, but they all seem to be alchemical compositions or chemical compositions, or like nothing stands out to you as look at this. This is clearly the clue.
No weird brass oil lamps or anything?
No, no. Shockingly, no.
Is gold used for like conductivity?
Can be.
Yes.
Can be. I don't know if I would know that.
Get your 24K HDMI. Well, I mean, would I be able to
Best Buy? You got the electrical stuff.
That was like almost an out of game question. Like,
yes, but yes, very much so.
Would I be able to maybe roll like
conductive metals?
Right. Would be able to roll like craft electrician? Like, what would he be? Like, would he be?
You could.
But it was a cast for something large made out of gold, right?
Maybe not large. A cast maybe golf ball sized. No. The crucible is not big.
Okay.
Think, you know, something that you might dick around with that would be like nail heads, buckshot, you know, so small, almost like musket ball, maybe kind of stuff. Okay. Something small. We're not talking about, you know, gold bars that are, you know, something like out of Fort Knox.
I would ask Shatha if she knows where he got the gold.
Gold. He barters with the demons with the gold. He has my uncle buy supplies with it. It is something to do with the devils that he works with, the evil djinn. She just like nods furiously. Her face is sweating.
Making some type of currency with this?
Or is he just making ingots?
You said golf ball size. That's not necessarily an ingot, right?
You can have ingots this size.
I don't know. Yeah.
It would be much more likely for someone to have an ingot of a very small size than actually like the gold bar bricks you see in movies.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay.
She sort of looks at you.
Well, I think we've got some new questions for our tenant.
Yeah.
Do we want to keep searching, or do we want to go question him, try and gather everything we can before?
I turn back to the girl. Is this the only room that's unusual on the property?
Shatha,
is there a basement?
No, there is no basement.
So our paperwork saying that he was given permission to build this, it doesn't have like the proposed building site or anything like that.
It's just a write-up document.
Yeah, we don't know where it would be.
He said he speaks to demons. He vanishes by the day. He's an evil sorcerer. You must take me away. You will take me away, yes. You will take me to Mosul? You will take me away from this property, yes?
Everyone's going to Mosul. Yeah.
Good.
We need to fight.
Will Majid speak with us and help us if we ask him?
Majid is under the sway of Rassam. He's served him for too long. I fear for the worst for my uncle.
We need to find out who he's paying and for what. This could be bigger than what they expected.
There's a shed out back by the pool.
Yeah, I think we should at least go and cover the house.
Yeah, at the very least.
Yeah, what rooms would you like to investigate?
While we're upstairs, I would assume we should investigate the master suite.
And Rashad's room, wherever that's at.
Yeah, where is Rashad's room?
Let's ask her, the girl. Can you take us to Rashad's room?
It's on the other side of the garden.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I think Rassam's room is the master suite.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, where's Majid's room? He's
down next to hers.
Driver's room. Okay, sorry.
But yeah, she will point you in any direction you want. Let me know and you can go to her room.
Let's head to the master suite.
The master suite.
It's fine. As we go by, I would assume we would just knock open the bedroom doors, three and two on the way, just to glance in.
Bedroom three. Bedroom three appears to be a bedroom that became a library. It is full of...
idolatry?
Periodicals. Magazines and journals, like to the point where you can barely walk around the bed. The bed is like an afterthought at this point, pushed up against the wall, and there are shelves, and you're talking hundreds, if not thousands, of periodicals filling the shelves of that bedroom.
Any standout particular topics?
If you want to start digging through them.
Yeah, just glance through.
If you start digging through them, you're seeing magazines and journals on archaeology and anthropology in half a dozen languages that you don't even know, plus a few you do. The oldest one you find dates back to 1950.
Okay.
They do appear to be meticulously organized.
Okay, could have been a professor of anthropology for all we know.
Could be. Would make sense.
So far, this guy is only guilty of being an intellectual. So let's keep searching.
Intellectuals versus the religious police.
I was going to say, I'm pretty sure that's good enough.
Probably.
Which room next?
Bedroom 2?
Yep.
You find a second library. Also shelves lining the walls. The bed is actually gone, and there's a little reading desk in front of the window. You see a pair of reading glasses, pens, paper, envelopes, you know, as if this is an active workspace. You see hundreds, if not thousands, of books crammed into shelves as tight as this room can go. History, poetry, mythology, folklore, archaeology, religion, Arabic, English, French, German, hieroglyphs, Babylonian, ancient Greek, Sanskrit, like anything that you can imagine and a few things that you can't, this guy has copies of. And you see prominently next to the desk, there is an incredibly old Quran.
Anything dog-eared or marked in the old Quran?
No, it does appear to be thumbed through, but there's something you can't put your finger on it, but it's old. It's not in an Arabic that you can read well. I would compare it to the average person today, the average English speaker reading Shakespeare. Okay. It's Arabic, but it's either old or dialectually different. But yeah, you see every shelf you pull is just something weird and new and strange.
Interesting.
I'd pick up the book
okay.
and yeah. carry it on me.
Sure. You have a copy of the Quran.